Sweet Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I, to make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, January 5th, 2024. You know, Mitzi's right. Just one more thing. It's the Columbo thing. One more thing, sir. Just one more thing. One more thing on that. First, the announcements. I didn't make them in the first hour. We got to do the announcements. We're at the end of the second annual John Stadtmiller Book Drive, week six. This week's book, Checkmate, The Game of Princes, by Jeffrey A. Baker. It's supposed to be a light day. This is Friday, isn't it? But it doesn't feel like Friday. It was a short week. Monday was kind of, you know, coming out of the holidays thing. So, I don't know, yawning, stretching, and here we are. Whatever. It's Friday. What do you do? I always try to make Fridays a light day, but it never really works, does it? I don't know. It's, I don't know, best of intentions, I guess. So Checkmate is this week's book. Checkmate, The Game of Princes, published back in 1993 by Jeffrey A. Baker. And so make a donation of $100 or more for your chance to win. And those folks who, entrants who have not won in the past weeks, are obviously added to this week's drawings, which is cool, I think. And your support of the network is vital and essential because, as I like to say, there is no Ford Foundation grant. Unless there's a cold day somewhere, there probably never will be because of the, you know, Cecil Rhodes, the Rhodesian agglomeration of wealth plan. You know, it's an uphill battle. So, no Ford Foundation grant, no Knight Foundation grant, no, you know, we're not part of the Annenberg Challenge or any of that fun stuff. No Annenberg funding. So your support is greatly appreciated, obviously, and vital and essential. Thank you to those who do support the network, and congratulations to the previous winners of the second annual John Stadtmiller Book Drive. Also, there's the quilt raffle. That's pretty cool. For details on that, see RBN's New Year Rebel Madman Rabble Raiser post. And also, if you're on social media, maybe check out the Republic Broadcasting Facebook page. Like I said, one more thing on this and we'll get back to the stuff from yesterday. The question, you know, part B, basic continuation of, is America or was America founded as a Christian nation? And, you know, yesterday I talked about this. The short, simple answer is no. America was not founded as a Christian nation, and it never really has been effectively. One thing that just keeps rattling around in my mind, I'm jumping all over the place, I shouldn't do this, but I will. The Library of Congress has their list of 100 books that shaped America. And, you know, I think that this list should be included in the evidence because, you know, the names that you find, if you go through American history, you know, from the revolutionary period forward, certainly, but, you know, beyond. And like I said yesterday, the abridged version of the history is, you know, we hear about this religious persecution overseas. What happened was, and Alan Watt talked about this from time to time, but, you know, coercive engineered migration didn't start with Kelly Greenhill's book. It's been going on for centuries. It's one of those time-tested methods of doing things. You want this land, you have to get the people off of it. I mean, we're seeing that in Gaza, for example, a place that used to be called Palestine. No, it's not. It wasn't a country, though. Yeah, but on all the old maps, it was called Palestine. Golda Meir says, you know, they don't exist. It doesn't exist. That's, man, that's some big time gaslighting, but I digress. That has, you know, been a time-tested method. So back in the, you know, around the 15, 1600s in particular, there were the nonconformists, and this creates a stir, and all of a sudden there are people, you know, there's a good side of that and a bad side of that. The good side says we don't need, you know, in if there's a, you know, a good aspect to the Lutheran dissension, we don't need an interpreter. Jesus is our high priest and intercessor. Thank you, but, you know, we'll take it from here. Or, you know, more specifically, we'll let Jesus and the Holy Spirit take it from here. And of course, you know, the church says, you want me on that wall, you need me on that wall. Then within this nonconformist contingent, there's also those, you know, kind of the Royal Society types, the natural philosophy types, the, you know, the wolf amidst the flock. And that's what they really wanted to do, bring that over here and incubate it. And you read about that in Manly P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America. I mentioned yesterday, you know, from guys like Plato and Bacon to Manly P. Hall, we hear about the, and John Dee, you know, we hear about the New Atlantis. Isaac Newton wrote about it, too. There were some interesting esoteric and occult pursuits that he was into. There's a Wikipedia page on that. Isaac Newton's occult studies. Wikipedia is not the source of all things, and obviously it's heavily, you know, the some of the most important information is redacted, but there's still some interesting stuff there. And again, I mean, the things that are redacted obviously can shape your perception. I'm not naive of that and wouldn't want anyone else to be either. But if you're aware of that, there's some interesting stuff there. So back to the Library of Congress's 100 books that shaped America. If you go through the list, interesting bunch of folks. Ben Franklin, deist, so-called, you know, Hellfire Club member. Thomas Paine, I like to refer to him as the first official American communist. You know, a lot of interesting folks. The more you sort of dive down the rabbit hole, the more questionable things become. 1850 to 1900, Harriet Beecher Stowe, Henry David Thoreau, Walt Whitman. Speaking of deists and pantheists and esoteric, you know, romantics, in other words, deviants. ...1900 to 1950, L. Frank Baum. Jack London, Fabian Socialist Jack London, who was brought here or in the early days of bringing, you know, that here. And on and on and on. But I would, in this case, draw your attention particularly to, you know, and of course, Benjamin Spock. The World According to Spock. You know, How to Raise Your Children, Dr. Spock. Alfred C. Kinsey, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male. So, pedophile, you know, rapist, effectively, rapist studier, pedophile, homosexual, deviant. Alfred Kinsey, his book, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, is one of the Library of Congress's 100 books that shaped America. Among others, there's a lot of esoteric stuff. Ayn Rand, that's interesting. Jack Kerouac, CIA, you know, all of the beat stuff, and obviously all of that stuff has to be in here. Robert Heinlein, same influence. Yeah, but you say an armed society is a polite society. Well, it is. Carl Sagan. Anyway. The point here is, you know, the Library of Congress has 100 books that shaped America. Where are the unequivocally Christian books and authors? I don't see any. From 1750 to 2000, I see zero. Zero. Here are all the books from 1750 to 1800. Benjamin Franklin, Experiments and Observations on Electricity. Benjamin Franklin, Poor Richard. Well, Poor Richard Improved, an almanac for the year of Christ, 1758. Benjamin Franklin, The Way to Wealth, and a plan by which every man may pay his taxes. Thomas Paine, Common Sense. The Federalist, A Curious Hieroglyphic Bible or Selected Passages in the Old and New Testaments. Christopher Calls, From Annapolis to Alexandria, A Survey of the Roads of the United States of America, Benjamin Franklin, The Private Life of the Late Benjamin Franklin, Amelia Simmons, American Cookery, or The Art of Dressing Viands, Fish, Poultry, and Vegetables, and all kinds of cakes, etc., etc. Where is it? You know, 1800 to 1850, maybe the New England Primer, sort of, but maybe. Meriwether Lewis, History of the Expedition under the Command of Captains Lewis and Clark. Washington Irving, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. That's definitely, yeah. McGuffey's newly revised Eclectic Primer, Pictorial Illustrations. Noah Webster, A Grammatical Institute of the English Language. Samuel Goodrich, Peter Parley's Universal History on the Basis of Geography for the Use of Families. Frederick Douglass, Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass. Anyway, there isn't, and I understand, people might say, well, you know, it's Library of Congress, Contemporary Library of Congress. What is the influence of today? It's like that clip you play, Chris, of Walter E. Williams saying the politician who tried to get elected based on the, you know, revolutionary period values would be laughed from the, you know, laughed out of the election today because he's not trying to steal from others for his constituents, essentially is what Williams was saying. Yeah, but if you try to dig for your own resources that, you know, of 100 books that shaped America, you will be hard pressed. If the point is, if America really was founded as a Christian nation, or still is, or has been at some point, there's some vestige, there would be evidence, and there isn't. And if we deal with the truth and the reality of that, I think it, you know, again, James chapter 1. But let him ask without doubting. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why would you want to do that? Again, because you neutralize the threat. And if the battle is spiritual, the threat is the Holy Spirit. And dunamis, that power, New Testament, you know, that word we get dynamite from. Explosive, life-changing power. And it's not just explosive. The Big Bang exploded into perfection. So it's that. It's explosive power that creates perfection. Can you really say that? Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Revelation 21:5, Jesus speaking, behold, I make all things new. Perfect tense. Continually making all things new. So yeah, he shows up and things get better. Which takes me back to the point about Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And then I'll move on and get back to this other stuff. You shall not make for yourselves idols. Skip forward to Romans chapter 1 on that, starting in verse 18 or 20 and following. Nor shall you set up for yourselves any image or sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. Well, we don't do that. Yeah, but we have these scrying mirrors all over the place, don't we? These little black screens. Everywhere. They're everywhere. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Interesting. I've heard a couple of people in particular recently say that they were convicted about the Sabbath. And one guy who owns a car dealership who said, we were convicted. I was convicted about the Sabbath. And some people will say, well, you know, is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Guess what? They're closed on Saturday and Sunday. Problem solved. Romans 14. I don't know if that's why he did it, but they're closed on Saturday and Sunday. And as a, you know, as a car dealer, you would think you'd want at least one of the weekend days. But the truth is God can bless them more on the off days, air quotes off days, than they could bless themselves on the on days. That's the point of Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Do we try, or do we get neutralized by the manipulation of our context in order to achieve a desired outcome, to neutralize us, and more specifically, inviting the Holy Spirit into these things, taking the Lord at his word. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season, so that the lands will yield its produce and trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering. Wow. Your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and your grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in the land. So basically, you know, if you're a farmer, every season, you're just like, and I know people that are doing this. Honestly, I know one couple in particular. They're garden is bountiful, and this is how they live, it seems to me. Oh my goodness, is it harvest time again? We haven't even gone through the old stuff yet. Is that how we're all living as Americans? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMontrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth, or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Peace. You know, that's an interesting question. How are things going? Again, you know, our institutions for higher learning, quote unquote, air quotes, wink, wink, are incubators for Marxist revolutionaries. And guess what? It's working really well. And this is what Bertrand Russell was writing about in The Impact of Science on Society. Fiddle laid it down that education should stamp out free will. And the best that they could do in his day Bertrand Russell wrote, was to create Karl Marx. Well, guess what? That was one guy. Now we have a revolutionary guard of Marxes coming out of those incubators. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. He was talking about a specific group of folks. In contrast to those he was talking about, what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's not plural, it's singular. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Huh. So they may not do the things you please. Like, be concerned about, you know, my own body, and, you know, take care of ourselves, and knowledge of missing frequencies and all that stuff. If you read the Bible, we're constantly admonished to, you know, consider one another before ourselves. It's what Jesus did. Did he heal himself? What was Paul's answer when he asked to be delivered from the thorn in the flesh? My grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I will boast in my weakness. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Ooh, so I can do whatever I want, right? Well, kinda, maybe, in a manner of speaking. But context is everything here. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Well, yeah. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so, you know, just continuing. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Do we have peace in America? You know, some homes do. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That sounds like a recipe for a good life. Some people are doing that regardless of circumstances. James 3:17, similarly, well, backing up. James 3:13 and following. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Welcome back. There is a war going on, and we're not going to get there today. I'll probably do this next week. There's a lot to unpack anyway. You know, yesterday I said I ask the question, is America or was America founded as a Christian nation? And the answer is no. America was founded on natural philosophy. And if you study it and learn its lexicon, you will see what I mean. The God of Spinoza, as Michio Kaku said, or likes to say. And, you know, Albert Einstein believed in the God of Spinoza, and that's the God predominating the landscape today. Well, what is behind natural philosophy and all of this kind of nonsense? It's Kabbalah. And by the way, that's being taught in the universities. Here's an example. The Allen and Joan Bildner Center for the Study of Jewish Life. But it's really not that. It's something else. Kind of like, and this is the same thing that I've been talking about. Two sides of the conflict that apparently doesn't exist, but we're seeing it every day in the headlines. But, you know, it's not real. Okay, whatever. So, you know, Saudi billionaires, not far removed from, if removed at all, from arms trafficking and, you know, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, and friends, giving $10 million grants to institutions like Yale for Islamic studies, air quotes. It's not Islamic studies. It's Wahhabi radicalization. So that you have that side, and then on the other side, you have this at Rutgers, the Allen and Joan Bildner Center for the Study of Jewish Life. What does that mean? Present Daniel Matt speaking about the Zohar and Kabbalah at Rutgers 10 years ago. 771,000 views, or excuse me, 711,000. And speaking of Yale and fun, you know, Marxist revolutionaries, what's his name? The Frankfurt School of Critical Theory, Yale courses, number 17. How many times have I mentioned this? For some reason, that clip is rattling around in my head, too. You know, we play that from time to time. Paul H. Fry, Professor Paul H. Fry. Introduction to Theory of Literature. Really? Maybe we should play that. Yeah, I think we should. Just the first few seconds. It's unbelievable. If, you know, let us infect your mind with this mind virus. Children, young impressionable people, so that it will be with you for the rest of your life. You can only have this experience once, and then from then on, that becomes, you know, that imprint becomes the reference. That's part of the symbolism and garbage that guys like Jung talked about. You know, we've played this clip a million times, but it is emblematic, I think. You may ask yourself, out of idle curiosity, or perhaps even peevishly, why Marx? Why so much Marx? Can we play that, please? Just the first
little bit. We get into social perspectives on literature and art. You may ask yourself, out of idle curiosity, or perhaps even peevishly, why Marx? Why so much Marx? Why is it Marx who seems to stand behind the idea that the social criticism of art is the best and most relevant way to approach this subject matter? Well, it's because whatever the outcome of Marxist thought may have proven to be historically, it's nevertheless the case to this day that the most devastating critique of existing ideas about things, of states of affairs that as it were, meander along without too much self-consciousness remains the Marxist one, together perhaps with the Freudian one. And when we turn to Jameson next time, we'll see that in both cases, and we'll be working a little bit with this today too when we turn to Benjamin, we'll see that in both cases it has to do with the way in which we are brought up short by the kind of criticism which argues that somehow standing behind our conception of reality and our understanding of our place in the world, there is one form or another of the unconscious.
Okay.
We have...
That's enough. Boy, that's some gobbledygook, huh? Anyway, I'll give you the real answer, though. Why Marx? Why so much Marx? Why is it Marx who seems to stand behind the idea that the social criticism of everything is the best and most relevant way to approach the subject matter? It's because that revolutionary germ imprinted on your brain becomes the lens through which you view everything else. And then all of a sudden, you know, victims of the world unite. We become crazy people, like the laundry list of the deeds of the flesh that I read from Galatians 5. So to finish James 3, that reference, you know, it's the anti-God, apostate rebel mind virus. That's what it is. If you do your own homework, you will find guys like Marx and all of these guys that are celebrated in the hallowed halls of academia, that are, you know, lifted up on the pedestals, oftentimes literally, you know, the busts all over the place. Oh my goodness, they were intellectual giants. Not according to 1 Corinthians 1, they're not. Not even close. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. But you will find that they, almost without exception, they have an encounter with what I would broadly construe as Orthodox Christianity, and they depart from the faith like Marx, and they become apostate rebels like their father, the devil. And they are the leaders of the revolutionary. They are the intellectual spark, as Mike Huckabee put it, the leaders of the intellectual leaders of the Revolutionary Guard, rebelling ultimately against God himself. That's what's happening. Remember Huckabee back in 2007 on the 2008 presidential campaign trail? That brilliant distillation of Marxism to create havoc in the world. Who wants to create havoc in the world? Well, he's not saying that. Yes, he is. Listen to what he says. Yes, he is. No, it's just like if it accidentally happens. No, to create havoc in the world, he said, you need, here's the recipe. Whoever said, here's the recipe for apple pie. Well, it wasn't like Granny was trying to make an apple pie, you know. Yeah, that's exactly what Granny was doing when she pulled out the recipe for apple pie and the ingredients, mixed them together. She was making an apple pie. To create havoc in the world, here's the recipe, kids. You need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings. Huh, that's funny, because where is the largest concentration of educated people providing intellectual underpinnings? Where is that located in America? And poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals, and that's, you know, the story behind those intellectuals is an interesting one. Bolshevism has come to America. Who financed it and made sure they all made it and screened them thoroughly, you know, and they all arrived on scene at the appointed moment. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. Underclass, fuel of the world, unite! A strong middle class is the firewall. Where's the firewall gone in America these days? There's the recipe, and our institutions of higher learning are cranking out sparks everywhere. Throwing off sparks everywhere. Rabid radicals that don't even know, you know, in cybernetic fashion, they don't understand, you know, the rudder that's steering them into oblivion and destruction. To finish the thought on James 3, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not from that which comes from down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable. Didn't George Bernard Shaw say in Man and Superman, the future belongs to the unreasonable man? The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And we hear a lot about peace in America and how, you know, the United States military is spreading freedom and democracy, but somehow things just keep getting worse and worse. There is a lobbying effort that has us, basically is bleeding us. And none of this is a mystery. You know, I keep talking about how I want to go back to Madison on war and Jefferson on taxes. Yeah. Just a brief thought on that. And you can find this one on WikiQuote, James Madison WikiQuote. Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. So are we at peace, like we read about in James 3, or are we constantly at war? You know, the professional institutions have to justify their existence. Remember George Bernard Shaw said, every period of years, you know, sir, or madam, you should have to justify your existence. Come before their panel, and in order to live in our great society, you must justify your existence. Can you please justify your existence? The professional institutions have to do it too. Mention this, you know, the volunteer fire department doesn't have to justify their existence. The professional does, though. Why are we spending this money? Why are our what are our tax dollars doing? And so the hammer has to go find some nails. That's Trevor. That's the basis of Trevor Aronson's TED Talk. How this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. You know, it's more than that, but he makes a good point. And so, what is your point here, Chris? Well, the 1947 National Security Act created the National Military Establishment, the NME Archipelago. And along with that now comes in tow nearly $800 billion a year budget that must be justified. And so it's going to have to go find some nails, by golly. Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes. And armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. In war, too, the discretionary power of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments. Emoluments is an interesting word. In war, too, the discretionary power of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied. And all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. The same malignant aspect in republicanism may be traced in the inequality of fortunes. Didn't Smelly Butler say something to the same effect? And the opportunities of fraud growing out of a state of war and in the degeneracy of manners and morals engendered by both. Have we seen in the post 9/11 era a degeneracy of manners and morals, even and perhaps especially from the military community? You know, it's sacred. This is another sacred cow. It's sacred ground. But, you know, Matthew Cole's Intercept article and series, actually, The Crimes of SEAL Team 6, things like canoeing, degeneracy of manners and morals engendered by both. Why? Why crimes? Well, it's to be expected. Have you read Clausewitz on war? What is the end result? What is the net effect? Ultimate and complete depravity. That's, you know, endless war. That's where it's going to go. Why? Because, you know, all is fair in war. By, you know, all war is based on deception. By any means. Where does that go? Degeneracy of manners and morals. And so Madison concluded, no nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. You could add other things. No nation could preserve its manners and morals. No nation could preserve so much, its fortunes or its, you know, its wealth, its security, its peace. We've been at war constantly for a long time, actually. And, you know, it's psychotic. Patrick Clausen reminds us the traditional way America gets to war, which is what? False flag type stuff. Or, you know, lie hop, high hop, my hop operations. Let it happen, help it happen. If you have to, make it happen on purpose operations. Provoking things like the Soviets invading Afghanistan. This is reality. And if that's the lens through which you view the world, it gets very cynical and very sinister very quick. It gets lonely. If the enemy of my enemy is my friend, pretty soon I have no friends, because we're all frenemies. That's a nasty, awful, lonely existence. In contrast, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. You know, I shall also grant peace in the land so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. That sounds nice. No menacing of the endless hobgoblins, as H.L. Mencken would say. I shall eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. Wow, that sounds great. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. Your enemies will fall before you by the sword. That's pretty incredible. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. You will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Like I said, I know people who are doing this. They're like, oh my gosh, we haven't eaten the last harvest. They're giving it away. Will you guys please take some of this, because we can't get through it all? Why is that happening? Because where God says, if you, I will, they are, and he is, and he is. Deuteronomy 28, now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Kind of like the fruit basket that's overflowing. My goodness, we're swimming in this stuff. Somebody please take this stuff. Imagine if everybody's house was like that. Would we have the homeless problems that we have and things if this was going on? No. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, and the increase of your blessed. Wow. If America ever was or intended to be a Christian nation, I think that's kind of where it starts. If you, I will. And you know what? Now is probably as good a time as any to challenge the deliberate manipulation of an observer's context in order to achieve a desired outcome. I hope it was informative. I hope you have a great weekend. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Please pray for one another and support the network. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.